everybody, and welcome to episode number 40 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host. Today, I'm joined by Audrey Drake.
Hey, everyone.
Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Stephanie Lee.
Hi.
And Megan Sullivan.
Yar.
All of you out there are probably saying, who is Stephanie? Stephanie is our latest gal editor. She is working on the guides team, taking Colin's place, actually. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to introduce yourself just real quickly, like what kind of games you're into, what you did before you came here, all that kind of stuff?
Okay. The first week I started, I wrote a blog post, and I mentioned that my favorite genre used to be Japanese RPGs, but not so much anymore, because I feel like it's kind of died down a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm really open to a lot of genres. Lately, I've been playing a lot of shooters, like Gears of War, Halo. I'm down for any shooters. Contra is one of my favorites, so I'm actually playing a lot of Hard Corps right now.
Cool.
And before coming to IGN, I freelanced for IGN Guides.
Oh, okay.
And as for GameSpot as well.
Okay.
The Evil Empire. Okay. And also did some stuff for Game Explain, which was launched by ex-IGN employees Andre Seegers and Mike Asaf.
Boo!
You were in a Mario Sports Mix tournament recently, weren't you?
And you lost.
And you lost.
That is where
that would be
I met Audrey
smack
my arch nemesis,
because she won.
I'm sorry, I can't control the smack talk.
All right, so we're welcoming Stephanie to the crew as a fill-in. Dana, unfortunately, is out sick. She caught some type of infection from her daughter, and so she is
kids are so good about that.
Yeah, I know, quarantined at home.
They like to share.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can probably tell by my voice that I am sick as well. I'm actually on the upswing from a very bad sinus infection that I picked up at GDC. Hooray!
Yay. I think almost everybody did. Like, a lot of people were out of the office for
I was out
week
Monday.
Everybody caught this sinus infection, except for me, which I sort of kind of want it because you sound really cool.
Keep dreaming, Christine. Keep dreaming.
One day my voice will be nasally.
Everybody else in the office could actually take cold medicine.
I can't.
Yeah.
Why is that? Is it just because there's a little bit of alcohol in it?
Well, the alcohol, and then also oral decongestants. Like, when you're pregnant, medications are weird. So they have like classes of drugs that are, you know, like A, B, C, and D. And A is like completely safe, no problem. B is, it's most likely safe, we're not completely sure. C is 50-50, and D is don't take this. So all the studies that have been done, they haven't been done on people because that's kind of unethical to do that, but they've been done on animals. So they have all this information of these drugs that, and they tell you what has happened to rats or whatever when they're pregnant. So, you know, you have
cold medicine,
a guideline. Cold medicine is actually a C.
It'll make your baby too groovy if you take it when you're pregnant.
The oral decongestants are a C. I can take cough syrup, but without alcohol in it.
Gotcha.
Obviously, so
they should make special medicine for pregnant people.
They should. That would be
million
nice.
Dollar idea, people. I just gave it to you.
Yeah,
get on with it.
Make it happen.
All right. Couple other quick announcements. So we had our first Mass Effect trivia contest last week, and we do have winners. We have two winners, and we'll have another question today that you guys can answer. So the winners from last week are Rosa Reyes and Brooke Pratt. Congratulations,
ladies. Yay! And what was the question, by the way? Because I was not there.
The question that I came up with was, what is the pet nickname that Thane gives FemShep during their romance? And the answer to that is Seehaw.
Yes, we got lots of correct answers in, but I just randomly picked two. And then the winner of the Killzone Hellghast action figures, well, they're not really action figures, they're just army men. You can't move them, they're just still, is Jason Cartagena. I think I said that right. He had the coolest story about playing with toys when he was young. Apparently he had an Incredible Hulk toy chest that the cat got in and peed all over his toys.
Oh, no.
So,
cat urine is the worst.
Yeah.
That's
the Hulk's
that's
one
bad.
Weakness.
Yeah. It's kryptonite.
Yeah.
Cat urine.
So, figure make up for some of his ruined toys with the Hellghast soldiers. So we'll be shipping out prizes to you guys.
Hopefully you don't own a cat.
anymore. Or don't keep your figures where a cat
don't
lock can get
your
to them.
Cat in the toy chest. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That sounds like the most likely explanation as to how that happened.
Yeah. Okay, so other quick announcements. PAX East is happening this weekend. None of us in this room will be there.
No, but we fully support
Jessica
it.
Jessica Chobot will.
Jess will be there, so as be will one Greg Miller, and Damon Hatfield, Anthony Gallegos.
Anthony's going like on his own, though, so he won't be like... Well, I think he might show up to the official meet and greet thing, but he's
And then Walter from D2D will be there as well. He's a snack pack on the IGN boards. But yeah, so they're having a meet and greet. All ages, open to everybody, Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. at Barlow's Restaurant, which is located at 241 A Street in Boston. And then the live Game Scoop panel is happening Sunday at 3:30 p.m. in the Manticore Theater. So you can go give the Game Scoop guys a hard time and heckle them.
Please heckle them.
Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
And speaking of Jess, I have some news for our listeners that will probably make you weep uncontrollable tears and gnash teeth and everything. Jessica Chobot is actually moving back down to Southern California. She will still be working for IGN, but she's going to be doing some other stuff too. But that means that she will not be a regular here on Girl Fight anymore, unfortunately. We'll try to get her on when we can, but it's hard enough to get her on when she's in the same office as us.
When she's not out or sick.
Yeah. So, I'm sure she'll still be blogging and everything on IGN, and I asked her to go on our Girl Fight Facebook page and write a little something to people just to tell people what's up, and she said that she would do that. So, but in her place... Ms. Audrey Drake will be joining us as a regular from now on, which I know lots of you have been asking for.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, we were busy trying to figure out Stephanie's headset.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, aww. Yay, Audrey.
We're like,
hey, boo, Audrey.
I'll just take my leave.
Yeah, so I think that's all the announcements. So let's get going with what we're playing. Audrey, do you want to start?
Oh, Pokemon all the time. 7 badges down already.
Wow.
What's your team?
Yep. Well, right now I've got my starter, which I started with Snivy, who's awesome. He's
Did
a little badass.
Did you name
badass.
Him Smugly?
No, I didn't. Jack named his, though.
When I get it, I'm going to name mine Smugly.
I named mine Soma, just because I like that
like
name.
Like the district?
Like how
do you spell
from
it?
Dawn of Sorrow.
Oh, okay.
Way. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
That's also where we work. Fun fact.
Yay. I didn't know. Now
South
I do.
South of Market.
Yeah.
Okay. No, not that. So, okay. And then most of my other spots are just for leveling up monsters and for my HM whores. So, yep. Wow. It's awesome, though. If you haven't gotten it, go get it now.
Unless you hate Pokemon,
yeah. In which case you won't like it.
Is so. Is it friendly for people who haven't played Pokemon in the last 10 years?
I can answer that in yes, because I've never played a Pokemon game.
Ever?
Ever, and this is my first one.
Yeah, it's a perfect starting point for people who either have never played a Pokemon game or haven't played one since the original, because it stays really true to the formula while still making it modern. So it should be interesting for all kinds of people.
Cool. Megan, I might move the mic a little closer to your mouth. You are very, very quiet.
Am I very, very quiet?
Yeah.
It doesn't wanna do whatever.
That's because you have a crazy microphone.
Yeah, Megan has the
broken
headset
today.
Is it the wonky? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Fun fact, people, that one has one. You can't hear out of one ear.
Yeah.
You can't hear out of one ear.
It sort of feels like you're going deaf.
Is that better?
Yeah. And I'll turn up your volume after we're done.
Okay, because the biggest complaint that people give me is that I talk too quietly. So the fact that this microphone isn't working on top of that.
These damn women and their high-pitched, quiet voices.
Yeah, so sorry.
How about you? Well, we know what Christine has been
playing.
What
are you playing, Christine? I'm playing a mix of Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2. Because after playing Dragon Age 2 for review, which went up yesterday, I gave it an 8.5, by the way.
And stop complaining, people.
Yeah, I'm...
An 8.5 is good.
It's great, actually. Yeah. But...
See? There you go.
It's above average.
I mean, it definitely has problems. The game is actually a lot more linear than I was hoping it would be, which is a major downside. And also, the dungeons are, like, all the same... Excuse me, my voice just broke. So, they're all the same, pretty much. So, those are, like, major Debbie Downers. But the story is good, and the characters are are really fun and interesting to get to know.
Are the dungeons all the same? Like all they, the little spaceports really were the same semi, in Mass Effect 1?
Yeah, sort of. Oh, okay. It's almost even worse. Like, it's pretty pathetic. It's all copy-pasted. And then, like, the mini-map's the same for all of them, too, even though I feel like the way they made it different is certain pathways are, like, blocked off. Oh. But it's really the same dungeon, but, like, just you may not be able to go the same way all the time.
Oh,
so okay. It's, like, if you're, like, super big into dungeons and that's what you liked about Origins, this is not not going to satisfy you at all.
Yeah.
So just be warned about that. The story is really interesting. Linear, though. Like, I made choices and I didn't really feel like they did much. It was more just, like, the story had really cool moments in it and...
Uh-huh.
There's some crazy stuff that happens.
Okay.
Wild internet speculation. Do you think the copy paste for the dungeons was just because they had such a short development time? Or do you think they just wanted to...
I'm thinking it's probably a combination of that and they wanted to make the game look a lot better than Origins. And so the game does look better, but the assets are reused a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I think that was sort of their trade-off. And it's, but yeah, it was a really short... Death it was. Cycle. So
I interviewed the composer actually today, and he said this was really different from most BioWare titles because this was a rush job.
It totally. I mean, I can see that, but yeah. It still turned out pretty well.
Yeah,
definitely not one of their best, but technically it is much better than Origins. Like the combat works better, the inventory is better, crafting is much more. Well, it makes sense, basically. Oh, and
I totally didn't craft at all in Origins.
I didn't craft at all either.
I was like, whatever.
But now it makes sense now, which
cool.
is good. So there are
was
a lot
crafting
of
the enchantment
things.
Thing?
No, enchanting is different.
Okay,
enchanting
I can't remember.
Is you enchant
anymore.
Like an item to make it. It's like a buff on your
enchantment.
Your,
oh, enchantment
is back. Spoiler, I guess. Alert. But Bodan and Sandal.
Yay.
Cool.
I have an article up. It's called Dragon Age 2 Familiar Faces if you want to see who all is going to pop up. But there are spoilers in there, so be warned.
Okay. Cool. How about you, Stephanie?
Well, like Christine, I've been spending a lot of time with Dragon Age 2 because I am writing the strategy guide for it.
Woo!
And I definitely agree. Thanks, Christine. But I definitely agree with a lot of the things that you said about it. It is more linear, and I didn't think... I actually have not played the first game, Origins, but I did hear that there were a lot more branching points for the story, and I'm not seeing that as much in Dragon Age 2, but mm-hmm. there's certainly a lot more... It's a lot deeper in the sense of in the character interaction.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of gray area. You don't know what the icons that are associated with the responses you have are going to lead to specifically. So... It's you'll like maybe you have a sarcastic remark, but you don't know how that'll pan out with the character. So
I kind of like that aspect, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's a really highly evolved aspect of Dragon Age 2 that BioWare did a really good job with, and I'm really enjoying all the character interaction. But aside from that, I am getting tired of seeing the same dungeon over and over again.
Especially you, because you have to like. Document everything. Yeah. Well, although it actually might be easier for you because you'd be like, hey, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Walk through it.
I still have to play
this
through
this time
it,
turn to the left instead of turning to the right and you got it down.
And I feel like it's a missed opportunity with this game because like you're stuck in this one area of Kirkwall.
Yes.
And they could have definitely diversified with the dungeons and like made them more at least appealing for the player to go through. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's like every cave you walk into is magically the same somehow.
Yeah.
And you're like,
And it's all like really dark and drab and dreary and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a question. How are the romances compared to Dragon Age Origins?
I mean, there's no Alistair.
Okay. Well, I already knew there was going to be a problem because there's no Alistair. But... And I guess for guys, there's no Morrigan.
I guess I'm just going to say spoilers just in case somebody gets upset.
Yeah, just go for it.
I romanced Anders and I really enjoyed it. It sounds really weird to say.
Because you didn't have that option in Awakening, so it was kind of sad. Because I was like, if my fill-in Alistair, I couldn't romance him in Awakening.
Yeah,
so.
But Anders is there. He's sort of Alistair-ish, I suppose.
Alistair-ish.
Alistair-ish.
Perfect way to describe him.
I didn't try and romance. If you're a... boy, you can romance Isabella or Meryl or Anders. I believe that's all correct. And then as a girl, you can, I think maybe you can romance all the same. I'm trying to think if there's somebody you can't romance either way. I think Meryl is boy only. And then, what's the girl only? Fenris. Fenris is girl only, so they match up.
All right, interesting.
But, cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah, one of the controversies around this game right now is like your character can be bisexual, right?
Yeah, well, you could do that in Origins.
You could do that in Origins, Origins too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody makes a big deal out of that. I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, these are the same people.
It's a game, and you know, let people do whatever and they want.
The romance scenes, with the exception, I just YouTube Meryl's, but hers is the only one where you see like any sort of skin, really, which is weird to me because maybe I need to Google Fenris's because I saw a screenshot where like you can all it looks like the top of Hawk's boobs are out, but I have yet to see the like any skin in the game really. Like when I romance Anders, you just like make out on the bed and you're fully clothed. And alluding to
Christine wants more skin.
I do, damn it. I like seeing pixels.
but the people who complained in Mass Effect 1 where you don't see anything either, they remember that one lady flipped out in Mass Effect 1. It turns out there was nothing to flip out about, but maybe that by
Mass Effect 1 there was at least side boob to freak out.
Yeah, there was side boob, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
There was side boob and ass.
Yes.
Yeah, but that was it.
And then, ever since then, like they've been getting BioWare's tamer like, and tamer.
Yeah, tamer and tamer.
You just
don't want
make out a little. It's okay. It's cute. You love each other. All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, with Garrus and Mass Effect 2, I mean, nothing happens.
Well, I mean, at least you can
make out with Fane a little bit.
Yeah. Sort of gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megan.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Just mention quickly that for those who don't know, Dragon Age 2 uses the same sort of conversation system as
Mass Effect.
That's something you were alluding to, Stephanie. Right. But in Origins, it was not like that at all. You had just like a drop-down list text.
Did you play as a male or female Hawk?
I played as female, and then a little bit as male.
Did you like the voice acting? Like everyone loves Jennifer Hale as Femme Shep.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Femme Hawk?
I liked her. I think Jennifer Hale is stronger. Well, you know, I just really like Femme Shep a lot.
Yeah.
But she was definitely. It was fun. I liked to. I think there were a couple cheesy lines here and there. Like the way she says, I love you, is sort of weird. But it's like almost like mocking you. But it's really funny.
I love you.
It's just like, I love you. And you're like, do you really? I don't know. It sounds a little bit strange.
Okay.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, it's a strong performance. Varric is by far the best voice work, though.
That's
does that. Like, he's a really. I actually didn't think I was gonna like him very much.
Uh-huh.
He's like my favorite character now.
Cool.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's my favorite character too.
It's really funny.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of the conversations that your characters or your party members have while you're like wandering around, they're hilarious.
Yeah, they were that way in Origins as well.
They're still really good. So that's something I.
Yeah, completely off Dragon Age, but the funny voice acting just reminded me one of the games that my husband worked on years ago. They got some, you know, it was a female main character, and she had to say Triceratops.
What?
And she, well, I mean, it was they were fighting dinosaurs.
Oh,
so
okay, okay.
She, but the way that she pronounced it was Triceratops.
What?
That's amazing.
And she said dagger like dagger.
Did they correct her?
No, that made it into the game. It was like,
that's
just part of her character. That kind of reminds me of someone I know that pronounces bagel like bagel.
Really?
Bagel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Basil.
Triceratops.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, sorry, Megan.
No, that was interesting. Well, as I mentioned before, I am playing my first Pokemon game. Thanks to Rich, who was kind enough to lend me his Pokemon White version, because I didn't know if I wanted to actually spend money on it, because I'm not a Pokemon fan. I watched part of the first season way back in the day when it first came out with Team Rocket, and never paid much attention to the series, and then I kept hearing over and 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 over again how amazing Pokemon Black and White versions were, and I was like, okay, so I emailed Rich this morning. I was like, can I borrow your copy for a couple of hours and just see if I like it? Well, a couple hours went by, and then a few hours went by, and I'm basically winning the game for him right now because it's surprisingly addictive. You'd think as a JRPG fan, I would have known about this sooner, but I'm just not a Pokemon fan, and I thought
it'd just
be
not like the idea of little monsters. Or like,
it's a pretty traditional JRPG.
Yeah. It's a JRPG. Just the series itself never interested me. Like before, it was a successful game series, I watched like the first season of the actual cartoon and was like, eh, it's It's whatever.
Pikachu.
Pikachu. Yeah, that's all I knew. I knew one Pokemon, Pikachu. Everyone knows Pikachu. I thought Pikachu isn't even in Pikachu, my in my lineup of Pokemon right
well,
now.
No, but no, you can't get any, can't of, get the any of the old Pokemon. Yeah.
Oh, so see, I didn't know that. I was just like, "Where's Pikachu?" Okay, I'll do
not
this.
Not until the very end of the game.
Oh, spoilers. Anyway,
well, I think most people really knew that.
Not really, but I was surprised how easy it was to jump in. Like, if you're an old hat at JRPGs, it's really easy to get the swing of it. It's really fun. Bunch of new Pokemon I'd never seen before. The story's kind of cute. So,
I think one of the best things about that series is that there's such depth to it, but you only really have to go as deep as you want. Like, if you just want to sort of skim the surface, just play through the story, beat the Elite Four, whatever, then you can do that. But then you can also go deeper and try and catch them all and try and do all the little side missions and all of that. So,
if you're like me, you try and catch them all and then give up.
Yeah, true. I think that's an option.
I think it's funny though. My character will be walking around randomly, and somebody will like an exclamation mark will go over their head, "You, I'm going to challenge you," and you can't really run away. And you're like, "Oh, I just want to walk from A to B.
That
would
always annoy me when I was like not in the mood for it. Like, fine, I'm going to kick your ass,
buddy. Take your four Magikarps and get out of my face.
I know. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I always love it too. And they're like, "I'm going to battle you," and they have the worst Pokemon ever. And they just have like five of them. You're like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah. And they're all level five. I really thought you'd win.
Yeah, I actually thought it was cool that I managed to defeat. I came across some trainer with three Pokemon at once, and they're all really difficult. And I somehow managed to scrape by that battle. And I was like, "Oh, I'm not too shabby at this, actually." So yeah, no, it's really fun. And as a non-Pokemon fan, I am very impressed. And then what else did I play?
Who did you start with?
Yeah, I was wondering about
that. Who did I start with in terms of Pokemon? Yeah. Whatever ones Rich had in his lineup. So
the otter or the grass snake guy?
Yeah.
I guess the grassy one? The one, snake? Maybe?
Snake guy. I mean, he's got arms before he evolves. But
dribble, snivy? Squibble, dribbles. I don't
dribbles.
Know. Cause,
dribbles, the fourth starter. Yeah.
I don't know. I
well,
don't
was it, do you remember if it was water, fire, or grass?
All I know is that I started at level...
Is it green, red, or blue?
No, you don't understand. I borrowed Rich's copy. He's 20 hours into the game.
Okay.
So I have
is
four
Pokemon. Is the
first
one in his team green, red, or blue?
It's a zebra.
Oh, okay, that's not a starter.
Yeah. Well, he could have taken out his starter from his lineup, right?
That's true. He could have.
Yeah. I'll tell you the Pokemon I have. I have a zebra that can do electricity and fire. I have some sort of grass Pokemon who can do leaf tornado. It more looks like a mini dragon, dinosaur, bird, lizard thing.
That's the kind of describe all the Pokemon.
It's green.
Yeah.
Or the evolved form of Snivy.
Yeah, that's got to be Snivy.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that is the name. And then there's there's some sort of like mud slinging one. Some sort of it does mud sling or mud slap or something.
That's mud a
slap.
Yes.
And then, bear with me, people. I have never played these games before. I don't know what I'm talking about. And
have
then
you seen Scraggy?
A duck.
Have and you seen Scraggy?
No.
He like grabs his tummy skin and brings it up and then drops it in his animation. It's really
he flashes
it's
other
really
Pokemon.
Really funny.
No, wow. It's like, is he fat?
No, it's weird. He'll just grab his like tummy skin and bring it up and then just drop it.
That's how he attacks?
I don't know how to... No, that's not how he attacks. That's what he just does that for fun.
I did the way you were
like
describing it.
Animation that he does.
The way you're describing it, I thought
it's
he was really flashing
weird.
Other Pokemon.
I can't
it's
explain
like, well, whatever
he
works.
Does it or how he does it, but it's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. And one is a duck. I think it's a water Pokemon, I want to say. It's a duck. Yeah.
That one evolves into a swan.
Whoa, interesting.
Though Psyduck wasn't water-based, right?
Psychic.
Oh, the
and awesome.
Gold duck.
The dumb duck from like the original series.
Yeah,
yeah. I do actually remember that Pokemon.
Anyway,
so that was
If you don't understand Pokemon, these then last 10 minutes were really confusing. Yeah.
That's amazing. I remembered that one from the original first season with Jesse and James. I don't
and
know why.
The
elf. Yep,
that's
true.
Right.
Vulpix.
Yep.
Yes.
My favorite.
What's the fire? What's the fire breathing one? Is that Charmander?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Charmander?
Yes, Charmander.
Okay, that's another one. Squirtle, Charmander,
cute.
Pikachu,
Bulbasaur.
Okay, now it's all coming back to me. How sad. Anyways, so done. I know I played
Nicole's
something.
Like, what is happening?
No more Pokemon impressions from me.
I live with a programmer, so you know. When
talk
he talks, I tweeted about this the other day because I went to a programming session at GDC, and
accidentally.
No, I've been there. No,
well, you can accidentally go someplace like
Right. No, my husband was in this thing, and I was going, and I was meeting him there afterwards. And, like, listening to it talk, like, it sounds like an adult in Peanuts. It's like that.
Cool. Yeah. And then real quickly, I want to get in that I actually finished up the DLC for Mass Effect 2, and I got to play Lair of the Shadow Broker, which is actually a good DLC, as opposed to Overlord, which is not a good DLC.
I know.
So.
I rated Shadow Broker.
Yeah.
Give it a 9.5.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was really surprised, especially after playing Overlord, which crashed on me multiple times.
Yeah, I hear it doesn't work on the PS3.
Yeah, for whatever. Yeah, all the people on my blog were like, I've never had a problem with it. As like, obviously you've been playing some other console version
or PC
version.
Yeah, the Xbox version works.
Yeah, the PS3 one is utterly broken.
I haven't tried
it
on my PS3 one yet.
Yeah, but I liked Lair of the Shadow Broker. If you're a Liara fan, you'll really like it. So, yep, cool. Good times. And I downloaded Witch Hunt for Dragon Age Origins, but I have yet to play it.
You finally got it to download?
Perhaps. It said it downloaded. I haven't actually booted it up, but we will see. So I might play that tonight before Dragon Age 2 arrives on my doorstep, hopefully tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah.
Didn't do the same day delivery from Amazon, eh?
I don't know why I didn't, but apparently I did not. But the good thing is Amazon always brings my stuff super fast, so it's usually, if it's not there same day, it's usually within a day or two. So.
That's good.
Well, yeah, I didn't do the speedy shipping either. I was just like, it's free if I just do the whatever. I don't care.
That was probably my logic, too, which now I'm like, oh, if only I got same-day shipping.
Yeah, yeah.
When you do the free shipping, too, they also, like, move you in the queue of when it actually gets shipped. So people that want same day shipping, like theirs go out first.
Yeah.
So like last I checked, mine said it was shipping soon.
Aww.
So I'll get it next week probably.
Yeah, well mine
which
shipped
is fine.
Yesterday. So I'm praying it'll be there tomorrow, but I seriously doubt, or tonight, but I seriously doubt it'll be there tomorrow.
I mean, you could technically borrow mine because I'm still finishing up my Origins because I went back through to play and romance Alistair because I never did. I played as a guy originally.
Oh, yeah.
So now I have a lady noble so that I can marry him and be queen.
Yeah. But there is a catch. I won't tell you what it is.
Yes. Okay, tell me about it later.
Yep.
Yeah, I can wait. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm excited for it, but I don't know. I'm so blasé these days. I'm just happy when I'm feeling like I can get out of bed in the morning. So speaking of pregnancy. I did not play a whole lot this weekend, obviously, because I actually spent some of it in the hospital. What did I play? Oh, we downloaded all the new Nine Inch Nails DLC for Rock Band, because I'm a huge Nine Inch Nails fan, and that was lots of fun. We played through all of those.
Were you super happy Trent Reznor won for the Facebook
soundtrack?
That surprised me. I didn't know he did that. They called his name, was like, wait, that Trent Reznor?
Yes, and he's scoring two other movies now, too. He's going to do the U.S. version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Pretty sweet.
Way to stay relevant.
Yeah, and so those songs were fun, and we hadn't logged into Rock Band 3 for like 2 or 3 months, so we downloaded like 25 songs or something that from stuff that had backed up, and then also we got our Squire guitar, that's the real guitar that also functions as a controller in the game, and I haven't messed with it yet, but my husband was playing with it, and he was playing songs that he already knows on pro and seemed to be doing fairly well on expert, so it seems like it works. Cool. I don't know if it's going to teach me anything, because he already knows how to play, but we'll see. And then before that, my mother-in-law was in town, and we ended up playing Beatles Rock Band, because that's just what makes sense when your mother-in-law is in town. Although it's very funny, she just sings. She doesn't play any of the instruments, but in some of the songs she sounds like that skit from Saturday Night Live that had Will Ferrell and I forget what her Anna Gaston, I think, where they were like the school people, and the Anna Gaston would sing all high pitched and everything, you know, with the popular songs. So yeah, his mom kind of sounds like that.
She's
gonna
be happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't think she listens. We'll see though. So that's what I've been playing. I gotta get back to stacking. Oh yeah, I'm Dragon Age Legends on Facebook.
Yes.
I've been playing. I want to get through and unlock as much stuff as I can.
Because it's all unlocked
before
now,
I
right?
Start.
Yeah, yes. I should jump back into.
Yeah.
It's weapons mostly, right? Is this correct?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. Like, everything's got these weird descriptions. Like, Ava's rage or, you know, I don't know. Something
yeah, that's right.
Like
they
that.
Usually
yeah.
have, like, weird stuff, so you're not quite sure what it is. You're like, oh, cool. Is it?
All
right.
Yeah. So, whatever. I mean, I'll just have it all unlocked by the time the game comes. And that's cool. And speaking of which, you know, like we're just saying, Dragon Age Legends on Facebook, you can play and unlock stuff for Dragon Age 2.
It's
so.
Also a pretty decent Facebook game.
It is.
Yeah,
it is,
it's actually fun.
A game.
Yeah.
You actually do stuff in it.
Yeah, it's
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What is this game you speak of on
it's
Facebook?
It's a turn-based RPG.
RPG, yeah.
Yeah.
And so. You can build up a little castle, which is pretty fun. You can grab your servants and swing them around like I did. Awesome. It's sort of like Sim-ish, you know, like you can just sort of torture them a little bit, but not to the point where they die.
They're funny, too.
They're really funny. They just like they chase like rats with their brooms and stuff. Pretty entertaining.
Yeah, so it's a cool game. And Facebook games, you know, more and more of them are actually turning into real games now, which is
cool. Which is good.
Yeah. Which actually brings me to next topic, which is GDC. Christine and I both went at least a few days. I think we're probably the only two here. I spent most of my time at social gaming panels because that is my job. And it's still very funny to me the amount of animosity and kind of snobbery that exists towards people who make social games. It's like...
Oh, towards people who make them?
Yeah.
I like, would always imagine it towards people who play them.
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, you don't get, like, tons of people. I mean, you get people who make them at GDC because they're there to learn.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was this one guy from Blizzard, and I know he was from Blizzard because he said it. He would stand up and ask the same question at every single panel and was like, do you think... games on Facebook are ever going to be elevated to the standard of art that we can get on other consoles. And, like, lots of people were just, like, didn't quite know how to answer him, but Brenda Brathwaite, who was our first guest here on Girl Fight,
totally
put him in his place. And she's like, Facebook's a platform, so, yeah. Can PS3 games be art? Can Xbox 360 games be art? Yeah. So, and then he shut up after that, which I thought was really funny.
So you're saying he came to... the panels that you were all at, or he just
hassled he was there.
He just, like, was, like, stalking everybody, or what?
I don't know.
Or just there to put them down?
Lots of the social gaming panels
and
asked
like,
the same
question.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be working on a game or something?
I don't know.
Work on Diablo. I want that.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just kind of representative of how lots of developers who work on consoles kind of feel towards these games. And it's just... it makes me mad. It's just irritating. I mean, even my husband gets this way at times, but it's like, you know, games are games.
Yeah. Like, well, it's amazing that they have this attitude because look at something like Farmville, which just completely blew up, or like iPhone games, which are another platform that's kind of snubbed. And yet how many millions of downloads have games like Angry Birds like gotten?
Yeah.
You'd think these people would jump on the bandwagon and
well,
rather than
a lot of
them
do.
Yeah.
Now,
and I don't, and they don't necessarily do it in a good way.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a distinction. I am not going to be a person that goes on record and says Zynga's games are great, because they're not. But there are lots of games popping up now that are really good. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. But the snobbery and the animosity is still kind of...
something we could do without in the industry.
Yeah. Exactly. For sure. So, what did you see?
A couple things. There was a really... I went to the Populous, like, I can't remember what they called them technically, but it was just like a post... I guess Postmortems was what they were, what they were called. So Peter Molyneux was talking about his game, and the most interesting aspect of it to me was how he got his start in the gaming industry.
Uh-huh.
Totally off-the-wall random, would never happen today. So he was, like, living in London. His girlfriend's father suggested that he start this... shipping company, where they'd ship baked beans to the Middle East, and so he named his company Taurus, like the bull, the star sign, and you know, was on his merry way, just making shipping beans, whatever. And then one day he gets a call, and it's from Commodore, and they're like, "Can you know, we want to show you something in our offices. Like, can we schedule a meeting, whatever?" He was really confused, but said yes, and. So he went over there and they showed him the Amiga 1000.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, still quite not getting it. Yeah. Like, I ship baked beans. What am I doing here? But they asked him to create a software program for it. And he was like, okay, sure, ship him on over. So they sent him, like, a few of Amigas to, like, work with. Uh-huh. And then eventually he realized they had meant to call another company called Taurus. T-O-R-U-S.
Oh, my gosh.
They were a software company. And so, cool. I mean, he's telling this story. First of all, if this, I hope it's true, because if it's not true, I'm going to punch him in the face.
But yeah. That's hilarious.
It's like, it's a really crazy, like, what?
Yeah.
How, that's, it's insane that that would ever happen.
So, did he program them something?
Then he went ahead and he made, I can't remember what he called it exactly. It was like the ultimate database for Amiga, and he joked that he was overpromising even back then before he started making games. He had a really good attitude about it. I think Peter always does.
Yeah,
he knows that. You know, he overhypes things. Yes. And embellishes. I mean, I think it's just that he wants to talk about games more than he should. Like, and he talks about them too early and about ideas that eventually get cut.
Yeah,
right. You can't do them. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's certainly that passionate, and it was a really though. Funny story. So, yeah. Wow. So I saw that, which was fascinating, and then I went to David Cage, who he was one of the creators of Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
He had a really interesting talk that sort of ruined games for me. It was really, I was sort of like left feeling a little bit like lost, like, oh my god, all these games that I love so much are really crappy. Because he was talking about how the games industry has been really stagnant. Like, uh-huh. The technology has just come so far in terms of graphics and, you know, controllers and all these cool things, but the concepts have all stayed the same. Like, mm-hmm. you have an action sequence followed by a cutscene that tells a story, and you might make a choice here or there, but really it's one or the other. And there's no, like, real shades of gray or, like, anything like that. And he said that what they tried to do with Heavy Rain, say what you will about the gameplay of Heavy Rain, I really like the idea behind it, which is marrying narrative and action.
Right.
So, and that's one of the reasons why they were able to make it so, what would you call it?
Engaging?
Yeah. I mean, you know, so you have so many different options, and, like, as you play, you don't fail. You just have a different
path
of your story. And I think that's really cool.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it was interesting to then just go back and look at Mass Effect and, like, all these other games that I hold so dear to my heart and be like, I've always known this about them, but it's still, like, hard here to have someone say it, like, technically your game is crap because all you do is you run and you have an action thing and then you talk to somebody and then you rinse and repeat. And it's like, yep. Thanks, okay, buddy. Let me go kill myself now because it's like, I mean, I think there's still definitely a place for those kind
absolutely
of games, but it's just, you know, I really do wish that more people were thinking about games in a different way, and I think that that's something I hope, you know, his message got across to people. Because honestly, I think BioWare should be looking to make something more Heavy Rain-esque.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily, like, gameplay where you're, like, moving the analog controllers in weird
ways. Yeah, because that was the biggest problem I had with Heavy Rain.
Was failing at drinking orange juice.
Yes.
Or
the lack of
one of those. Like, but like, just in the sense, of decision-making and having so many options available to you, that's something that I think that they should really
I wish they had taken that idea, which is really cool, and added, like, gameplay to it. That would have been cool. But it is really innovative.
I mean, the problem with Heavy Rain is it's all really quick time events, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's not good. But I mean, I like the ideas and let's keep it
flowing.
They're
on to something.
Yes. They have it's there. An idea's there.
Yeah.
Let's grow it.
The ideas are cool, but I feel like the narrative in Heavy Rain, the way they did it, it doesn't keep the characters that they're trying to build, like, in terms of the personality, consistent, like, because you have a lot of this player input in how you want that character to react to anything, and it doesn't remain consistent throughout the story. So, for example, like, the father is, like, hell-bent on finding his kid,
right?
And then it's like nothing will stop him from trying to find him, and he's going through all these trials that are, like, life-threatening. And then you're thrown some of these options that are kind of like, that kind of throw him out of character, and the whole story kind of runs with that. So I feel like from a narrative standpoint, that's where Heavy Rain kind of breaks down.
I thought it broke down more in the sense that I'll just say spoilers. Why not?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where the you were outlining the story.
Okay.
Where like the killer? I'm not gonna say who it is. Yeah. But he never has any thoughts about like you can get in their head and like think about what they're thinking theoretically. Yeah. But you really don't because. He would be going, oh, crap, I hope they don't find me. I hope they don't realize it's me. I'm the killer.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that, wouldn't you? I mean, there, there are certainly problems with Heavy Rain. I'm not saying it's perfect, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's just the battle between trying to tell an actual story that you have set out and giving the player
the choice of
molding that character. Mm-hmm. That's a balance that hasn't been reached yet. And, you know, this is the first medium to even try something like that. If you think of books, movies, TV, it's like
just throwing
they have
it
complete
at you.
Control of the character. So, I loved Heavy Rain. I've said that a million times. I mean, definitely there can be improvements.
Plus, David Cage is like eating his own words when he said that that the separate elements of gameplay and then the cutscene... there were a lot of sequences where you had to control the character and make him do certain things before you actually trigger a cutscene. And then you have... And
I think it's the fact of interactive cutscenes.
Yeah, nothing was just a cutscene.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Nothing is just... Like, you don't have the option to do anything. I think Mass Effect sort of tried to do that with the interrupts.
Yeah.
And I think that that's sort of another step in the right direction. Like, keep doing that. Keep giving me more options to make
a narrative flow.
Yeah, because there weren't any straight cutscenes in Heavy Rain, I think, until the very end. Everything was a quick time event. So even though it was rendered like a cutscene, you were still controlling it. So, and then Christine and I both went to the Women in Gaming Awards.
Yes.
Which was very, very cool. And by blind luck, ended up sitting next to the combat designer for Mass Effect.
I know. I know. You were like... Guess who I'm sitting next to? Yeah. I was like, who? Oh, hi. How are you?
Yeah, it was weird because I just sat down and she came over to me. She's like, hey, is anybody sitting there? I'm like, no, go ahead. I didn't know who she was.
Oh, yeah.
She's
and
like,
then you saw her name tag like, and you were like, wow.
She's like, where do you work? I'm like, oh, IGN. She's like, oh, I'm from BioWare. I'm like, oh, nice. So that was really, really cool.
It was more interesting than I thought it would be.
Yeah. The chick from Microsoft that kind of emceed the event was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, she was actually really funny. I was very surprised.
And they actually had a guy give, like, the keynote or whatever, but he was very funny as well.
Yeah, his whole... They apparently did research on the effectiveness of
group mentality.
Group mentality and group problem solving and things like that. And one of the factors was how many women are in the group.
Yeah.
And that makes, you know,
that makes the group intelligence go up.
Higher. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So. My mom actually got a slight tangent. My mom actually just got a book called Man Down, which proves it's written by a male lawyer who was going through all these statistics and all these arguments, and it turns out that women are almost better at everything, from driving to video games to just about anything you can think of. So it's the point is not to male bash, but the point is that men still, but people in every industry still have this perception that women are somewhere on the outside when really should bring it back in. So. Thought that tied in nicely.
Yeah, that was a good lunch.
Except the lunch itself.
Yeah, you know, well the main course was okay. The dessert was freaking weird.
Totally off.
What was the dessert?
It was
like
weird.
Some sort of weird.
It was like a sponge cake with like panna cotta on top of it, but it was drizzled with this oil that was like a combination of lime and mint.
Yeah,
And it was really strange. Really strong.
And
mint.
Then the middle filled with.
It was like more panna cotta.
Oh, was it? It was cream.
The whole thing was drizzled with it. So like the panna cotta just soaked up the mint. Like I literally felt like I was eating toothpaste. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I took a bite and was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You could take that
back. It looked really pretty.
Yeah, it definitely looked pretty.
It did not taste very good.
No.
Well, I think the most exciting part of GDC for me was all of the awesome Nintendo news broke. We had new Ocarina screenshots, which are gorgeous. The news about Super Mario 3DS. We got a new Skyward Swords trailer, which had all kinds of awesome info in it. And we're actually going to get a Zelda anniversary something, which is exciting. Nice. We don't know what it is, but it's exciting. Like so,
all the Zelda games is it gonna ever be, made, including crazy. Skyward Sword.
With the 3DS.
Yes.
And it comes with a Master Sword.
And it
sword.
Costs $300.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Wind Waker, they did the re-release of Ocarina of Time on the bonus disc. It wasn't just
the
Ocarina.
Master Quest.
With Master
yeah,
Quest.
With yeah. Master Quest, mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
And, well, yeah, they're including Master Quest in with Ocarina of Time 3D, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But, it was exciting. I was going crazy all day when all that news was breaking, just writing it up, looking at the screenshots going, look, Mario's small for the first time in a 3D game. Wow. Completely geeking out. But yeah.
That's awesome.
That was my GDC.
Yeah. Yeah. So GDC was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It would have been cooler if I hadn't gotten sick halfway through.
It's the post-GDC plague.
Yeah.
Mutated.
Everyone's got it. Oh, something else that I played there. Just thought of. Terra, the MMO from Enmasse, correct? Sure.
Why not?
Sure. Anyways, it's really cool. This is going to sound totally nerdy, but whatever. So they have these little, I can't remember what they're actually technically called in the game, but little, like, total anime girls. They have furry ears and, like, tails, and they are adorable. And so I was like, technically they weren't part of the demo, but I just sat there and, like, kept bugging the demoers until they let me come back later and make my own character and start playing through. So I made this cutest little girl ever, and, like, I saw her, and when she started running, she ran totally dainty, like her arms were sort of flying, and her knees were totally like kicking up.
The anime run.
Yes, the anime run. She's like, ah! And then she jumped and she did like a cheerleader move. She did like, it was so funny. I wish I could show people that are listening, but it was just really entertaining. And the world is just so pretty.
Uh-huh.
I asked them to just shut up because they kept talking, like, so trying to show me, like, oh, look at this thing over there. I'm like, no, I just want to, like, look at it. Like, just sort of scan the landscapes and stuff. And the combat's really cool, too. It's much more action-focused than normal MMOs, which you just, like, hit keys and then sort of watch things happen. It's sort of boring. But this one, you actually pay attention to what's going on, which is good. And I played as a warrior, which was fun. You can, like, dodge out of the way. You have to, like, time your dodges and, like, your attacks and things. And I also played as a sorcerer, which is a little bit more boring, frankly. I found it just was a little bit more stereotypical MMO. Like, because you stayed back from the group, so you weren't really getting into the fight at all. It was just more actually like a first-person shooter. Because you have to, like, you have to keep your mouse hovered over the target, you have, like, a reticule and stuff, and you have to make sure that you're the right distance away, because if you're too far, then, you know, your spells won't reach him.
Yeah.
So you do have to be paying attention, because at one point I was sort of, like, looking at stuff and not paying attention. I was like, oh, pretty, blah. But, and then I realized that all my attacks were not hitting him. And I was like, oh, crap. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So I'll move up a little bit. I'm a little bit too far back. Anyways, so that's a really cool MMO that you guys should keep an eye out for.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so let's move on to questions. As always, if you have questions, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. I had been saving this question for when Jessica would return to the podcast, but she won't. But Christine is here, and she can sort of answer it a little bit.
Okay.
Because you've done the fix a couple times.
Oh, okay.
So this person, Aaron, wants to know if we feel pressure to constantly look perfect when we're in video.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I mean, Jess is obviously naturally gorgeous and skinny, so she looks amazing on camera. Whereas I am more normal.
Yeah.
So, so it's definitely more intimidating for me going up there and knowing that everybody's going to compare me to her when
Yeah.
Not only that, but it's weird because all of our male viewers immediately judge whoever is in front of the camera, if they're female, by their looks. She's cute or she's hot. They never do that with the guys, but for some reason, you guys feel the need to comment on our hotness or lack thereof if we jump in front of the camera, which I don't quite understand. Yeah.
But that's just an internet-wide behavior.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's very much,
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it was going to happen when I started hosting. I didn't care.
Yeah.
So I generally just don't check comments.
Right.
And I just pray that nobody, like, comes and emails me and tells me how ugly I am or something. And
yeah.
They won't.
So,
yeah, I know. When there's ever any mention of video being shot in the office and things like that, it's like, I want my makeup. I will, and otherwise,
you want to feel
like you've brushed your hair that day.
Yeah, so we do feel the pressure. I don't know how that affects Jess, because as she said many times, that she doesn't work out and she eats like all kinds of garbage, because I saw her eat at her desk all kinds of stuff. And
she's one of those lucky bitches that can eat whatever she wants and doesn't get fat.
So we love you, Jessica.
I know.
Next question comes to us from Marcelo. Marcelo wants to know if it's possible to enjoy all the content in World of Warcraft, including raids, in a semi-casual manner.
Not sure about raids.
Yeah.
Definitely dungeons. If you find the right group, shouldn't be hard.
He doesn't want to, waste his life away.
Coming from
WoW.
An ex-hardcore WoW player, I don't think that's possible to experience all the raid content, but I think Blizzard has dumbed down in terms of raids. It's much more accessible to casual raiders now. So I think it's possible as long as you're willing to put in, a good amount of time into raiding.
Cool. Next question comes to us from Josh. Josh says he picked up Dragon Age. He said all of his friends who've played it said it's
Origins or two.
Origins.
Okay.
Sorry, these are old questions. Oh, okay, he says all of his friends who've played it said that it's very close to World of Warcraft. So he wanted to know if we feel that way.
I'm assuming he's talking about for the PC.
I guess.
I hope so. Otherwise, I guess.
What was the question?
If it's
is
not
Dragon
really.
Age
I
Origins
mean,
similar
you don't
to
have a party
WoW?
In WoW, you're by yourself. I mean, unless you group up, and then they're all. Controlled by other people, but
well, is the battle system similar?
It has the keys, like what you do in PC. Yeah, like, it has the hotkey system. You use strategy, I guess. I don't know. It's sort of a weird comparison to me.
Whoever is, just make Christine's brain explode.
I'm like, is it similar? I don't think so. I think it's just also a PC game.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, next question comes to us from Jonathan, and Jonathan, he asked how many people at IGN are female, and I, sorry Jonathan, but you need to clarify, as in editors or in all of IGN, because obviously there are HR people and sales people and
there's
marketing people,
a lot of females in sales,
who are all females, but as editors go, there's us and Dana, so that's six, which is actually a fairly good percentage.
And Neha's in video, but she's not.
Yeah,
we're slowly taking over.
Yeah.
Little by little.
And he is also talking about developers having bad crunch times and bad work environments. He says, I know not all offices are like this, but do you feel these types of things are happening in video game journalism as well?
Crunch times?
Yeah, not really.
Well,
we put in review season for sure. Yeah.
Definitely. It definitely depends on what time of year it is, I guess.
Well, during E3, there's a bunch
GDC is a good example. I worked, literally all day.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forgot to eat. Because you're just, but it's a different sort of work. You're not sitting at your desk, working all day. You're, out and about, running around to different appointments and panels and things like that. And then, trying to grab a bite to eat with developers or, people to just sort of get your contacts and...
When we do work all day, it doesn't come close to what some devs have to go through.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. Next question comes to us from Chris. Chris says some people
claim that exclusive titles no longer matter for this gaming generation. Do we agree or disagree?
Would those people be Microsoft? Who doesn't have any?
They think exclusives don't matter at all.
I think they do if other people are keeping it up. If Sony keeps, you know, up with all of theirs, then yeah, why wouldn't somebody look at the PS3 and go, okay, I'm going to buy that because I have all these games that I can't get on my Xbox or my Wii or
whatever. And there are still the first-party blockbusters that are console sellers, like Halo.
Halo and Gears and Forza.
It still matters for people who are choosing between Xbox and PS3, which system they're going to get. Like, not everyone has both systems. So if you're trying to choose which one to get, you're still going to look at, which one has games that I can't get on the other one, and does it really matter that much?
Yeah, it's like you can't get Fable on PS3, you can't get God of War on 360 kind of thing. So there are certain franchises where you do have to make a choice. It was a big deal, though, when I was so surprised when Mass Effect 2 was coming to PS3. I remember being like, what? Because the first Mass Effect was published by Microsoft.
So. But then a lot of those exclusives eventually.
Then EA came in.
Then EA swept in.
Silly heads.
Okay, next question comes to us from Sean. Sean has a dilemma. His mom, actually, is kind of a hardcore gamer for a spreadsheet game called Horse. I think it's called Horse. I don't know. I've never played it. Weird. Anyhow, he says she's a top player in it. She's well known, but unfortunately, that means it takes. She puts a lot of time into it, and he says. The chores aren't getting done. He says he's not sexist.
How old is he? Tell him to wash the dishes.
I don't know.
Jeez.
Well, his thing is, his mom, she doesn't work. So she's home all day. So I can get behind that. That she gets angry when you try to talk to her when she's playing the game, and she can be difficult to deal with.
Sound good.
Yeah, so he says, short of deleting her account.
Do not do that.
Yeah. Do not do that.
What are some possible ways to get her back?
Unless you want to be put up for adoption.
Kicked out of the house. Yeah. And or punched in the face.
I think, this sort of question has come up before. Talk about it, this just seems obvious to me.
Well, I mean, I can see, though, if she's gonna get defensive about it, how it would be difficult. She might be like,
I'm your mother,
I'll do what I want or whatever. I would just maybe sort of, I mean, this may backfire on you, but maybe try and frame it as, I'd like to spend more time with you. And then maybe we'll end up, you will want her to go back to your spreadsheet game.
Become better at the game than she is. So take away the whole reason for playing.
Or you could go ahead and try playing it with her, and then maybe she'll realize it's not very cool. Just kidding. I have no idea what this game is, so maybe it's fun.
A spreadsheet game.
Huh. Yeah, that means this is like a Mafia Wars or something like that.
Sounds like a little bit of an intervention is needed. Every once in a while, it's inconvenient for you, as opposed to, literally nothing's getting done, where the point where she's kind of obsessed, then that's one thing. And then you just, I like the suggestion, I want to spend more time with you when you're kind of absent in our lives, as opposed to, Ma, I want to play my game, get off the computer. Just make
you
sure
you could also
that
go
it's...
over her head and talk to her mom.
Audrey, you're full of the great ideas
thinking
today.
Outside the box today.
Yeah. Okay, next question comes to us from Julian. Julian says, with all the big titles hitting stores this year, which one do we think will give us something revolutionary in some way?
Wait, what? Repeat the question. Sorry, I my spaced out.
games coming out this year, all the big games.
That are going to be revolutionary?
Which one do we think will be revolutionary?
Arkham City looks like it's going to be really awesome, because from what Hilla said, you can really interact with every single part of the environment,
which would be really great. It looks
From what we see, obviously.
Excited. Demos are 10-15 minutes. Games
and
are
very
long.
Staged.
But it's really cool, because if you played the first game, there are so many seconds. It's an amazing game. That game. Uh-huh. My favorite game that year. But if you play it, there are so many parts of the world where you try and...
Try and get there,
but you can't. Yeah. It's his thing can't
That's
go in there.
That's always so frustrating about games,
but,
where you walk up and there's a slight incline and you can't get up there.
I know he can step over that. Come on, people.
Yeah.
But this looks like it's really going to take being able to interact with the environment to the next level. So
I'm trying to think. Maybe Journey.
Yeah, I was thinking Journey too.
From that game company. I don't know a whole lot about it as of
yet. Just that it's from that game company.
Yeah, and their awesome stuff. Yeah, their stuff tends to be pretty revolutionary. So
I'm gonna go with Child of Eden for Kinect.
Oh,
just because every time I play that game, it's crazy. I like seriously go into a trance of some sort. It's really weird. Like, you just like sit there and you're like, oh my god, so cool. And you look stupid probably, but whatever. It's still it's really interesting. Like
you have no idea like sending you don't subliminal have to messages. Use a controller.
Yeah, I know. Like Ubisoft's like gonna take over the world or something through this game.
I'd be okay with that. Everybody would be really happy. That you know, it'd be like happiness taking over the world. I think that would be a good thing.
Alrighty, we got time for one more. This one comes to us from there's no name on it. G Singh. Is the email address, and apologies for that sniffle. My nose is starting to clog up again. He wants to know, what's up the name with Girl Fight, and where in the world did we come up with that?
When
a more
Dana
appealing
here.
Name like Girl Gamer would have been a better fit
Girl
for the
Gamer
show.
Girl Gamer is not an appealing name.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not to offend you.
Yeah, honestly, we wanted something a little salacious to catch people's attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, girl gamer girls, you know, I mean, it's been done to death.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Dana came up with, well, yeah. She suggested it.
Yeah.
It's also a song.
Yeah.
And I laughed at it and said, yes, we must do this.
Yeah. And also, too, like, my thinking at the beginning was that we were going to disagree more.
I know. Yeah, I think we all thought that. We're like, oh, yeah, we're going to have really different you know, viewpoints. And we're all like, we love Bioware.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about Bioware.
Yeah. Yeah. So apologies that we don't disagree more. It turns out we all are pretty
alike.
Similar.
Yeah.
So
although eventually there'll be some controversial topic where we'll
yeah. You know. I mean, we did get into a nice big fight about the whole used game thing.
Yeah,
so,
the used game thing. Oprah, which I totally owned you on Chobot. So sorry. And
Oprah, you can't say that. She's not here to defend herself.
I know that's the best part. And no, Nicole and I disagreed on Epic Mickey.
Yeah.
So we're
nice when we disagree as well. We're not like throwing punches.
I'm gonna cut you.
Pulling each other's hair and all that kind of stuff.
We cut those parts out of the podcast.
Exactly. We edit this podcast very much.
Yeah. Okay. So let's wrap it up for this week. Did you come up with a trivia question?
I have been trying to think about
I have one.
Something.
I have
okay,
one.
Good.
I thought
okay.
of one.
Okay,
just
so
randomly.
Here's the trivia question for this week. Again, send in your answers to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com, and we'll pick a couple people randomly from the right answer. Go, Megan.
Okay, so what is the name of the species the Shadow Broker is from? From Lair of the Shadow Broker, it's sort of a new
that
species.
Is a good one.
And,
well, I mean, everybody can Google this, but whatever.
Yeah.
You can Google it, but I'll be more impressed if you don't. What is the name of the species the Shadow Broker is? It's a rare, unknown, previously unknown species. So what is it? And you can win some cool stuff.
Yeah, this is the same prizes that we had talked about last week. So this is all BioWare ladies-sized apparel. There's some Mass Effect stuff and there's some Dragon Age stuff. When you send in your answer, say what size you generally want and what type
and
of
And also
thing
you can go on my blog. It has a full list of prizes
with
that
picks?
You can win.
Hmm? With picks?
With a pick.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, you could see everything on the BioWare store.
Yeah, sure, I actually have a link to the BioWare store. Oh, but okay, if you want to at least see what it is, what sizes and what's available, I'll update that so we make sure that we have all the available stuff on there. So.
Okay, so send those answers in. And also, if you have questions, send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us individually on my IGN.
Yay.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Adios.